Anyone here for the first time?
Second time.
Welcome. Welcome. Well, it's a miracle that, for instance, that the Giants are in the World Series. And the new rules kind of worked out. Of course, it used to be that at the end of the season, the two top teams would just play, and now they have a whole playoff series, and neither the Giants nor Kansas City were the two top teams, but they're playing beautiful baseball. It's a miracle. My mother used to use that term a lot for ordinary things. Mom, it's a 2-to-1 special at the grocery store. It's a miracle. And in Buddhism, it's said that Buddhas have supernatural powers. And Dogen wrote a fascicle called Miracles that showed what he thought miracles were, still belong to the Buddhas, but they were a little more understandable, a little more human size. I went to the Soto Zen Buddhist Association convention with Kokyo and Jean a few weeks ago, and it was Soto Zen teachers from all over the country. A little over 100 were there, and all our relatives from different lineages. We all looked pretty much the same, a few different styles here and there. It gets changed as it moves across the country or from lineage to lineage. The meatloaf tasted a little different, so to speak. But it was a pretty sincere and earnest group of people. But you know, they were pretty ordinary. You'd all recognize them. And they certainly were esteemed Buddhist teachers, but pretty ordinary. There was therapists and school teachers. I had dinner one night, and a woman had to leave with her cell phone and came back and was talking about her conversation with her husband and their difficult teenager. You know, it was pretty ordinary, despite the sincere, lengthy practice of all of the people there. It was the first time I'd been to this event, and I was very excited about the whole thing, and still think about it quite a bit. Holding that ordinariness as well as kind of that earnestness and real sincerity. So, Dogen writes about miracles. The miracles I am speaking of are the daily activities of Buddhas, which they do not neglect to practice. He gives an example. Guishan is the 37th ancestor, a direct descendant of Shakyamuni Buddha. One day while Guishan was lying down, Yangshan Weizhur came to see him. Guishan turned around to face the wall. Yangshan said, "I am your student. Please don't be formal." Guishan started to get up. Yangshan rose to leave. Guishan called out, "Weizhur." Yangshan returned. Guishan said, "Let me tell you about my dream." And Yangshan leaned forward to listen. Guishan said simply, "Would you interpret my dream for me? I want to see how you do it." In response, Yangshan brought a basin of water and a towel. Guishan washed his face and sat up. Then another monk came in. Guishan said, "Weizhur and I have been communicating intimately. This is no small matter." The other monk said, "I was next door and heard you." Guishan said to him, "Why don't you try now?" The monk then made a bowl of tea and brought it to him. Guishan praised them, saying, "You two students surpass even Shariputra and Madgalyana with your miraculous activity. You two surpass even the senior students of the Buddha with your miraculous activity." So Dogen wanted us to know that these miracles of the Buddhas, the daily activities of the Buddhas, that they do not neglect to practice, are the miracle of our lives, the miracle of our daily lives, the miracle of our relationships, the miracle of coming together, our intimate relationships with the people around us. These ordinary monks at the convention had a sincere practice. They had lives inside of the Zendo and outside of the Zendo that they practice with every day. While I was at the convention, I bought a book there at the bookstore in the monastery we were staying with, and it was quoting Suzuki about practice. Suzuki has a way of describing practice that seems to fit these ordinary bodies of ours, and invites us into the practice with our ordinary minds and bodies. I went to Tassajara for a practice period in 99. So I was a little anxious about it, and about turning up the volume very loud on my practice by going into the monastery for 3 months. And Tassajara had been there at that point for 30 years. And even before I went, I said to myself, they've probably worked out all the kinks by now. The practice that they do at Tassajara probably fits these bodies pretty well. I knew a few people at that point that had been to Tassajara for short periods of time and long periods of time. And as I said before, they were pretty ordinary. And I suspected that the practice at Tassajara fit their bodies to a T, and would probably fit mine. And I was right. It I grew into it pretty quickly. It certainly was turning up the volume of practice, but the day-to-day schedule really fit these bodies well. To take this posture itself, Suzuki says, to take this posture itself is the purpose of our practice. When you have this posture, you have the right state of mind. So there is no need to try to attain some special state. The most important point is to own your own physical body. If you slump, you will lose yourself. Your mind will be wandering about somewhere else. You will not be in your body. This is not our way. We must exist right here, right now. This is the key point. You must have your own body and mind. Everything should exist in the right place, in the right way. Then there is no problem. But usually, without being aware of it, we try to change something other than ourselves, something other than our own bodies and posture. We try to order things outside of us. But it is impossible to order things if you yourself are not in order. When you do things in the right way, at the right time, everything else will be organized. So try always to keep the right posture, not only when you practice Zazen, but in all your activities.